Okay.
Come up here, you can get really good. My own research.
Is everybody putting a pen next to me? No, I don't know. Oh, it's under, they're all taken, I'm not sure. Okay, it's fine. Which group are you in?
I'm the last person.
The last one.
Who gives us one? Where's her mind?
What? Do you know who the program manager was? The director of
the innovation,
right?
They outsource the system.
Their staff wasn't in there? So did they do it verbally at all?
No, they weren't included.
Oh my God.
Go crazy.
Yeah, me too.
And guess what? So would the agency.
Yeah.
I
It's warm up here.
Oh my gosh.
I better have my yellow nearby because I've been having coughing jabs. Anyone need water or anything?
Good?
Okay. You want to go ahead and start?
Yeah.
Yeah, you, yes.
Is it 12:30?
It's 12:28. Mm-hmm. So, probably a couple of minutes. 12:28 or 12:29. All of us are so interested.
Well,
I was going to sit back there in the back there at the window,
so you can stand up and wave.
Yeah, I thought that.
When, so when you wave, 5.
Well, the suggestion was 2 minutes.
Two minutes left.
2 minutes and 1 minute.
Oh, will you do me 5?
Sure.
I'll make a
5 and 1.
Oh, yeah.
So let me put my other little number.
Are you serious? What's the closest place that you can fly in?
I don't know if it's good to go first or last. Last, you can get really stuck. People just pretend to decide. And everybody will be aggravated with you if you only want to do it with them.
I'll be in the middle.
Yes, in the middle.
Yeah, that's
a
good
one. Me too.
Yeah.
Let's switch.
My first.
Good afternoon. Welcome to session 5190, Public Health Nursing Within Borders, including Prison Nursing. My name is Blanche Landis, and I'm the moderator for this session. I'd like to introduce our presenters. Barbara Stanley is from the School of Nursing, University of Massachusetts, and she'll be presenting on access to health education for women in correctional facilities. Our next presenter is Karen Munoz from the Public Health Community Nursing Healthcare Agency, County of Orange in California. And her presentation is on comprehensive health assessment team for the homeless. And our next presenter is Julia Cowell. She's from the College of Nursing, Community and Mental Health Nursing, Rush University in Chicago. And her presentation is on issues in screening and referral practices for mental health problems among Mexican immigrant women and their children. And our last presenter will be Nanette Van Dyke McDonald, who's from the School of Nursing, the Robert Byrd Health Sciences Center, West Virginia University in Morgantown, West Virginia. And she'll be presenting partnerships using simulation to enhance nursing students' understanding of relationships between poverty and health. And what I'd ask you to do is listen to each presentation and save your questions and applause until the very end. Each presentation will go about 20 minutes, and we'll have about 10 minutes at the end for questions and answers. Okay, Dr. Stanley.
Well, thank you very much for coming. My name is Barbara Stanley, and, you know, at this time of day, everybody's thinking about getting onto a plane, so we really appreciate everyone being here. First of all, I teach at UMass Amherst, so there's several UMass facilities, but we are the flagship university in Amherst. So let's see here. I have no personal financial relationships. I don't have anything to disclose. Okay, so first of all, this is a service learning project, and the University of Massachusetts has been very interested in working with the communities in the surrounding area. Western Massachusetts is just that. It's the Golden West of Massachusetts. So everyone thinks of Boston being the center of everything, but we have a whole lot to offer students in the School of Nursing in the western part of the state. And we have had a partnership with the Western Massachusetts Alcohol Correctional Center, and there is a sheriff in the Hampden County, which covers most of the Springfield and not really quite up to the Hampden County, up to the Hampshire County area, but it does cover the lower half of Western Mass. And we have had a relationship with him in a variety of different projects. This is UMass Amherst, so we have a very large facility. At any one time, you might find up to 65,000 students there, and we have all sorts of different programs, beautiful library, and this picture is taken from some of our high-rise dorms. It's a very old facility. It's a land-grant university, so that's an important thing that we have to keep in mind when we're thinking about the projects that we're doing. Just a picture of one of the dorms, very old dorms at night, probably one that preceded me when I went to UMass. And this is our new Skinner Hall. It's a renovated, older facility. We had to protect the historic facade on the outside. And we have just some fantastic learning opportunities inside, simulation labs, and so forth. So we're very happy to be in there. It's our first semester in there. So what I wanted to do was to link really the mission of the University of Massachusetts with what we were doing in the School of Nursing and what students could be doing in the community as part of their learning. And the university's mission, and you can read it just as well as I just wanted to sort of focus in, conducting programs of research and public service that advances knowledge and improves the lives of the citizens of the Commonwealth. And we that teach at UMass are really graded, I guess you'd say, on three things. One is research, one is teaching, and one is service. So here we wanted to look at a unique opportunity for students to learn about cultural diversity and to learn about what can you give back to your community. And we have a lot of different opportunities, fantastic opportunities. I selected this location just because I've taught at two different colleges in Western Mass, American International College in Springfield. I have a colleague from there. Thank you for coming. And also at UMass. And I've had a relationship with the Hampden County Jail even when it was that old facility built in the 1800s. So I've been taking students there for quite a while, and I wanted to continue and build on that relationship. And I think many of our departments within the School of Nursing will be able to build further. But when I looked at the mission statement of the Western Mass Alcohol Correctional Facility, the sheriff really, and he has received Robert Wood Johnson funding, so he is really at the cutting edge of how to have the health continuum. It might start in the jail, but we connect with zip codes to where those clients are going, and we follow them through health centers and so forth. So we wanted to provide, the School of Nursing wanted to provide something that the sheriff's office just wasn't able to do at this time for whatever reason. And again, they strive to enhance public safety by providing care, custody, and we fit in with the treatment and the continuum of services, and we also fit in because we're offering opportunities to support the clients through knowledge and intervention strategies, and of course integrating them back into the community. This is not a federal prison. This is a local jail. He does have, and I will get into the different kinds of programs Western Mass has. The sheriff at Hampden County Jail has two minimum security facilities, one for men that houses about 1,500 to 1,600 men, and we just now have a new female facility for females. Both of them are very, very near Springfield, within 1 to about 6 miles. There is a pre-release program because all of the clients who are at the jail are going to be released, most likely into the immediate community. Western Mass Alcohol Correctional Facility is a little bit different in that it takes clients from five different counties, and we happen to have the one in the western part of the state. There's one in the eastern part of the state. And then this particular sheriff, Michael Ash, he also has a community safety center, which pretty much is a an ankle bracelet day reporting type of center. So this is what this very small facility looks like. It's right downtown Springfield, easy access. It's probably an old office or school building that has been converted. And our students find it, you know, just sort of pull up right in the street, park to the side. And actually, right across the street is a federally funded community health center. So that's really a good option for the clients to continue their care there. The philosophy, again, education, treatment, and recovery to address addiction and other problems that the clients might have. I really felt, and the School of Nursing felt, the missions were compatible and there was mutual support there. We have a new provost. He's looking at increasing our research, and our former provost and recently passed and current dean of the School of Nursing is very much interested in service learning. And Dr. Jean Swinney, who is our current interim dean, she is has been a member of APHA for many, many years and is very interested in that. Her specialty is community health. Western Mass, again, supporting their mission is around knowledge and intervention, and then the integration model of education and treatment is in the philosophy. So everything matches up very well. The course that I teach is nursing 439, and this is in the semester that seniors are graduating. At UMass, we have several different undergraduate programs. We have traditional, we have second bachelor programs, we have an RN to BS. So there are several different models. I teach in two of those models, and this course can be implemented actually in any of them, but I usually have traditional undergraduates. And I take students in several times a year because we graduate these seniors both in December and in May. So we work primarily in the clinical area with vulnerable populations. We have groups of students, and the focus of the course, the clinical course, is groups of students working with groups of clients. And then, of course, we're looking for an innovative service learning project. And actually, there are funds, internal funds to UMass that we can apply for service learning continuation projects. I hope to do that in the future. Vulnerable populations, community service, and then the skills group process, not just for the clients, learning about the clients group process, but it's a very critical part of nurses' education, at least we believe, that the students learn how to work on group activities with other students, because when nurses graduate, all of their work is going to be group and team-oriented. And then, of course, we use the nursing process, assess, plan, develop, and implement. And the history of the experience that I've had with this particular part of the Hamden County Sheriff's Department has been for the last, I'm into my seventh semester because we do it twice a year. And I had been involved during one summer session, which I didn't happen to put here. We go in weekly, and because it is a locked facility, we have an assigned time. We have to get in at a certain time. We have to be cleared, sign in, and so forth. And after our assigned time, this facility is so small, we need to pretty much get right out. These rooms are being used all the time. It's really quite a small facility, contrary to the larger women's facility and the larger men's minimum security prison, which once you get in there, you have a lot more space and access to clients, but the process of getting in is much more tedious. You know, checking through all of the different levels of security to get in. So this is just a little bit easier and not quite as threatening to the students. 1 hour assigned time, senior students. We usually do 8 interventions, and the reason being is semesters are usually 12 or 13 weeks, and we have to get them in there and sort of acculturate them to the environment. So it takes a little bit of time before they can feel confident enough to, number one, presenting a group activity, and number two, to be working with a particular client. So we have the first week is pretty much an introduction to corrections and to the facility. The second week, I allow the students, and they pretty much do a focus group. I'm usually there, but they conduct the focus group. So we go through, what do you need to know about focus groups? What are you going to talk about? How are you going to handle this? The next thing we do is during that focus group, we administer a very brief questionnaire, a little survey on what the women would like to know about. And then the third step in the process is we prioritize the classes, and we prioritize them two ways. What do the women want to know? And I've been doing this for a long time, so the women, even though it's a slightly different questionnaire that the students set up because we do want them to set up their own instrument, pretty much we get the same results of what women want to know about their health care, and I'll get into it in a minute. And then the students decide how they're going to develop the topics to address. And typically we go with an easier one at the start, one that they feel more comfortable with. If it's too challenging, they'll get bogged down on it, they'll struggle too much with it. And pretty much they are doing a different presentation every single week, which is challenging. The intervention, during the intervention pretest, and we do all sorts of, a little bit of lecture, film clips, activities, discussion, and post-tests. So let me just show you here. The Western Mass Alcohol Correctional Facility, they have 180-some persons there at any one time. And there are different programs. So you come into one program, you go through some education and training, and after so many weeks you graduate into another program where you can actually work within the facility or work outside of the facility. Everyone that is here is on, you know, 3 times and you're out. So they've been arrested for substance abuse, drunken driving. Usually it's multi-substance use. And actually, many of the women had said that this was a lifesaver for them, that actually after 3 times of drunken driving, that they might not be around if they hadn't been actually put into this program because of the life-threatening behaviors that they were exhibiting. The demographics, we've had clients anywhere with the women now. I'm just going to look at the women, 21 to 60. Most all women are high school graduates, and a variety of racial, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. You know, we are not talking about people just from lower socioeconomic groups here. We've had lawyers there, we've had police officers there, we've had nurses in the program who are clients. So it really cuts across all different work environments, all different races, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. And pretty much the major diagnoses, and I didn't get into a formalized listing of their diagnoses, but the highest on the list, and this is sort of a casual way of presenting it, but pretty much this absolutely stands true. Multiple substance abuse, opioid abuse, heavy with the psychiatric disorders. I'd say probably at least a third of the women that we come in contact with have psychiatric disorders. It could be major depression, mood disorders. Many have infectious diseases, high Hep C, a lot of respiratory issues, which are certainly exacerbated in an older building that's been sort of redesigned for these women. And I would, just to let you know how small the women, such a small area that they have to deal with, their living quarters, there's probably 18 women. Sometimes there'll be 12, sometimes there'll be 18. That's the most that they can have in this facility. And all of their living area is probably just another room large, a half a room larger than this. So there'd be four sleeping areas, anywhere from four to six women in a sleeping area, pretty much like an army barracks. You know, they have to clean their room every day. They have to dust their room every day. And it's interesting how they become aware of environmental issues when they have to dust their rooms every day. And they say they have more respiratory problems when they're closer to the ceiling than lower. There's more dust on the top when they dust every morning than the bottom. So they teach us a few things as well, you know. But again, it's a very confined area. And so respiratory issues, STIs, hypertension, and dental caries, very high incidence of dental caries. And you can sort of put that together with the fact that when you were drinking and drugging, you're probably not paying too much attention to the pain in your mouth. And so, of course, we would all think that there's some self-medicating going on here. So these are the self-reported health educational needs. We have a list of 15 or 20, and we have them check off what are their interests, and then we do a Likert-type scale as well. So we list all of these just sort of randomly. Here they're alphabetically ordered, but we put them in there. Breast care, health, heart health, exercise, you can read the rest. And we put others, and sometimes there are pregnant women in the group, sometimes there are menopausal women in the group, so that gives us an opportunity to talk about that. And stress reduction, some groups have it sort of down at the bottom, and some groups move it way up to the top, that stress, because they're so confined and have to be inside all the time and rarely get outside, even under supervision, it's a pretty stressful environment. These women aren't accustomed to living with five in a room, you know. And then when we rated the priorities, this is the way it usually comes up. And breast health is always near the top. And one of the reasons is because even though there's health education every week for all clients in this facility, the fact of the matter is the women are in with the men for health education. The women in an auditorium, women sit up front, then there's two rows of separation, then the men are in the back. But obviously you can't very easily talk about breast health. Nutrition would be focused in on a different way. We focus the nutritional part because the women are buying the food for the rest of the family. We talk about heart health because usually the model is men's heart health. Stress reduction, how women can deal with their stress. And women have different kinds of stress and talk about the different kinds of stress they have, particularly if they've been street workers or if they've been abused within their family. Very different kind of stress, and they don't know how to relieve themselves of that. So we help them with that. And we do some smoking. We talk about smoking, but there are formalized smoking cessation programs that are available to all of the clients. Sexual health, we can approach it from a different point of view than in a co-ed group. and exercise we can approach differently. So these are the usual ones, and even though I've been doing this for 7 semesters and you think, oh, it's going to change each time, it really doesn't change very much, which led me to the idea and talking to the sheriff that we would like to give something. I'm not sure if it'll be free gift, but we do want to give something back to the sheriff's department for allowing us to be there, because, you know, the staff has to put in time to for our students and attend to some of their needs, and it does take away from what they've got to do. So what we did was we decided on 2 different models, and we have one in which the nurse or whoever else is there could just take this model and use it exactly as it is. So it might have things like serving choices for nutrition. It might have formalized food questionnaires. It might have what are your kids eating at home. So we'll have a formalized packet, and then we have another sort of resource file where they can pick and choose to use what they want. Keep in mind, the nurses rarely have the opportunity to teach the women alone. So if they had the rare opportunity, they're not going to have time to put the plan together. So this is what we do. We do a pretest, verbal. Most of the women can read and write, but sometimes we see somebody helping them with the written test. So we don't make a big issue of it. There's sharing that goes on. Plan the intervention, develop it, implement it, and evaluate it. The learning theories are social learning theory and cognitive theory. The domains are cognitive, affective, and psychomotor that we focus in on. I have about 1 minute left, so I'm going to tell you that the principles that we use is we definitely capture their attention. They asked us for this, they get it, and they love it. They feel as though they have complete control over the sessions that we're teaching. We inform them of the objectives, just like any good communicator. Tell them what we're going to do, we do it, and then we review it. And then they tell us back. So we elicit performance, demonstrations, we get feedback, and we do post-tests because we do analyze them. And we look for a transfer of knowledge, and we ask them sometimes to do little nutritional diaries for us and so forth. So this is the packet that we have available. So my goal here today was to talk about 2 different ways in which you can do this if you're going to be doing a service learning project in your community. One is formalized packet, hand it to the nurse. She can almost do it verbatim. The other way is to have a resource file, which again, depending on the creativity of the nurse, she may or may not like that. The 3 segments, we usually have 3 students doing it. One gives the background. Say it's breast health, they give the anatomy of the breast. Basic information, we give 3 or 4 points, self-breast exam, why it's important, when to do it, and so forth. We do teaching tools. We have both handouts and visuals. You know, we might hand out a picture of this or a picture of the breast. We also try to show small film clips, you know. A film really goes a long way. And then we demonstrate, for instance, on a breast model that they can feel for any lumps. We reinforce it by assigning a task. We might give them the shower hook and ask them, did you do this during the week? And then we do a post-test. So sample modules. Right now we have a breast health module, nutrition, and heart health. And we're hoping to come up with a stress reduction module, reproductive health module, and then something related to smoking. We're yet to determine this. And, of course, we look at our key informants to tell us what do they really want. So it's lifelong learning, service by faculty and students, service for the community, and learning students, faculty, and the staff. And we think it's win-win. The students love it because they have selected this location, and they have selected, to a degree, the group of students they're working with. Since we're in a small room, quarter of the size of this, 18 women in there, you can't fit more than 3 students. So it's a lot of work for 3 students, but they love it. And the faculty, we're fulfilling the goals and some of the service learning that the university would like us to be involved with. We develop curriculum and then research. So it's win-win for the university and for Western Mass Alcohol Correctional Facility. And I just want to thank everyone at Western Mass, particularly the sheriff, for allowing us to do the work, and our dean, Dean Jean Sweeney, at the School of Nursing. If you have any questions, feel free to come up, and there are handouts. Thank you.